This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Supremes for you this morning in honor of Mary Wilson. She's the co-founder of that wonderful group, and she has died at the age of 76. She passed away at her home in Nevada, and she was an original member of the Supremes. She helped break down racial and gender barriers way back. She actually was with the Motown group when they were founded as the Primettes. Did you know that, Ed? They were called the Primettes before they became the Supremes in 1959. And then they signed with a guy by the name of Berry Gordy in 61. They became obviously so well known. They made some great songs. I remember in high school, the girls would go absolutely crazy singing those songs from the Supremes because, you know, it was a female point of view kind of song. And Mary Wilson, she was with Diana Ross and Florence Ballard. Those were the Supremes. And she was considered the longest reigning original member, Mary Wilson. All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed Davis, that is. We thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, February the 9th. In a few minutes, Josh Smith of the Center for Growth and Opportunity going to be with us. We're going to talk about pursuing open arms, but not pursuing open borders when it comes to immigration. So stay tuned for that, if you would. And as you probably know, the second impeachment trial of Donald Trump going to start this afternoon. We're going to talk about it, among other things, with our proprietor of the Barber Poll. I'll bet he's going to be in fine fettle, Andrew Ceraci. Stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. And now the World Health Organization is dropping its probe of where that COVID virus came from. What? What's going on with that? We're going to examine all of that. And then in our ultimate top 10, as long as we're talking about getting rid of our president or former president, the top 10 senators who escaped being expelled from the Senate. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are sponsored here, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For all you guys, best hair cutter for my money in Tampa Bay is Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. 727-733-3773. And we always got to salute Good Morning Clearwater. They precede our program. What a great couple they are. And Tony, their son, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Start off your day with Good Morning Clearwater. All right. So all of a sudden, Oldsmar is in the news, and I mean national news as well. Yesterday, Oldsmar, which is, by the way, right next door to Clearwater and Safety Harbor, for those of you in Pinellas County, they announced that an unidentified nutbag hacker remotely gained access to the water supply system and was actually trying to change the settings, which would have drastically increase the amount of sodium hydroxide in the water. Can you imagine if that had been a successful effort and you went to get a glass of water in Oldsmar? You could burn your throat. You could do all kinds of things. But they caught them. Now, they got all of these backup plans. They held a press conference. Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Galtieri said that a legitimate operator saw the change and quickly reversed it. Thank God for that guy. But that makes me wonder, is it that easy to get into things like our water supply? I'm really beginning to worry about how computers have so much intruded on the security in our lives that a couple of nutbags can break the code and just cause absolute havoc in this world, you know? They're still arguing about whether or not our presidential election had hacking and whether somebody was able to break in and somehow change the numbers somewhere along the way. Ed, have you heard that or seen that documentary that Mike Lindell of MyPillow put out about how he's convinced that the election was hacked into and changed?
I haven't seen the documentary. I know he's banned from Twitter.
He's banned. They don't want you to see it. I did spend, believe it or not, because a couple of people talked to me about it, an hour. It's an hour program. It's more than an hour. It's online. If you go to MikeLLindell.com or something, I'm sure I'm not doing it right. But he's got this thing on there, and he gets all of these people that he talks with, and he makes it. I must tell you, and I'm not one that gets into conspiracies, but they make a very convincing argument.
Is there any proof?
They actually show you these so-called printouts and do try to document what they claim is the way that online they were able to change the votes from Biden to Trump. And they go into some of the key states. I remember they were focusing in particular on one county in Michigan. I got to remember the name of the county. It was in Michigan. It's typically a very, I think it's in the Upper Peninsula. It's a very conservative county usually. Mm-hmm. And they showed how it went for Biden for some reason, mm-hmm. very, very high. You know, and anyway, they went into all kinds of things, and I found it to be very compelling. Let me put it that way. Very compelling. And again, I'm not one to get into. We'll have to ask Andrew if he knows about that thing with Mike Lindell.
Yeah, I mean, if there's proof out there, I would want to see it.
Yeah, and absolutely.
If it is true,
absolutely.
I mean, you can put three people in a room, can't keep a secret for very long. Eventually, somebody. I mean, eventually, you know, I was part of something I knew
it'll
was illegal, I would save some sort of evidence off to the side and then expose it, make a bunch of money. I'm sorry.
But. No, I think you're right. I think that's, and Mike Lindell makes that point. He says the truth will come out. He's convinced the truth as he sees it. I believe the people I watched on that thing were sincere. Now, whether or not they were.
I mean, well, okay.
It was true, but they were sincere. They really believed what they were saying.
What do we do if in a year, I mean, hard evidence and actual witnesses come out? I mean, what do we do?
I know.
What do we put Trump back in? I mean, what do we do?
I know. It's like when the water's gone over the dam, how do you get the buckets to put
the
it
Democrats
back in?
Just, you say, well, we cheated, whatever.
I don't think we do anything with the current president, if that's what you're saying. Now, what if it came out within the next few months, which I doubt, highly doubt that anything like that would ever occur? First of all, there would be a huge attempt, maybe by both sides, to stifle and suppress the information.
Sure.
You know that.
Yeah.
Even the Republicans don't want that mess.
Right.
So, who knows? But, again, Mike Lindell, MyPillow.
I'll check it out.
If you have a mind, you got a good hour and a half.
Mm.
Of course, you can always pause the doggone thing.
Yeah,
but I would recommend that people look at it, at least look at it and judge for yourself.
Mm.
Okay, let us take our break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about open borders and open arms and our whole immigration situation, and we'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I gave a girl. Hey, we are back on a Tuesday. Thank you for being with us, and we're delighted to have Josh Smith join us. He is a research manager on immigration policy for the Center for Growth and Opportunity, which, by the way, is over in Utah State University. Josh, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thank you for having me, Paul.
It's absolutely our pleasure. You have focused on a piece of, about pursuing what you call open arms and not open borders. And you say that President Biden should focus on making legal immigration and that whole process easier. And, of course, that's been the thing that I think drives a lot of people like myself crazy. You got these people that are following all the rules. And they wait, and they wait, and they wait, maybe for years before they get the opportunity to come to the United States. And then you've got people that they sneak over the border, get through, and we keep them here, and all of a sudden, you know, they're entitled to stay. What does that do to fairness and following law? I think what it does is it makes, it turns the thing into a complete upheaval. Anyway, I just want to get your thoughts on whether or not Biden is going to be pursuing some way, some rational way of tamping down illegal immigration while focusing on you know, a more efficient way of legally immigrating.
Yeah, that's one of the exciting things about Biden's administration's plan. So they want to move away from these broad, sweeping enforcement efforts that capture people who are peaceful workers. So think about this. There was in Philadelphia, a mother drops off her child at elementary school and then it gets picked up by ICE on her way home. That's the kind of thing that was happening under the past administration. And that's an area that we can really improve on. Make sure that ICE is going after drug dealers, not pregnant mothers.
But ICE is actually being discouraged from doing anything right now. I mean, we are putting a hold on certain people being taken back across the border. ICE is, I don't have the story in front of me, but some of the officials in ICE are throwing up their hands. They're saying basically, what's the point? You know, we're going back to a catch and release scenario that we had before Trump under Obama and Biden.
Paul, do you have a $20 bill in your pocket?
Oh, no, only a couple of $100. No, I might have one.
Well,
I might.
That's
why?
Even better.
What's up?
Take that out and just burn it, because that's exactly what the current detention policy system is doing. We're picking up people who have no criminal records, and then we're paying $100 a day for them to be detained. And there are better alternatives that are much more cost-effective, and that's the kind of moves that Biden administration is making.
Mm-hmm. So you feel that Biden coming in is going to make things better than they were under Trump? Is that your thought?
I'm really excited about the potential for immigration to breathe new life into communities. So think about this. I don't know what NBA team you root for, but I don't think the Utah Jazz would have a chance at any playoff ever if they could only hire people from Utah. Think about that. I've been going through the Utah Jazz roster for the past few weeks thinking about this, and I can't find anybody who was born in Utah. And that's why immigration is so important. It's bringing in people who are highly talented.
Legal immigration.
Yes, sure.
Okay.
I agree.
What about illegal immigration? What are you going to do with people that sneak into Utah that are illegally there?
I think those are real problems that need to be dealt with.
Well, yeah, but that's what's always said. They need to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. Either you take an illegal and you take them back over the border, or you keep them. Those are really the two ultimate choices. If you keep them, then you got to worry about what you're going to do to have them exist in our country. Are you going to give them benefits, a job, whatever? But if they come here illegally, don't you think maybe there is some logic to saying, I'm sorry, you got to go back over the border?
I think there's a lot of potential in finding a middle ground there. Not open borders, but open arms, saying you've broken laws. There needs to be a penalty. That can be something like a fine. It can be making sure that people who have criminal
records...
Well,
where's the incentive, then, to stop illegal entry? Where's the incentive in that? There's no incentive. There's more incentive to get people to come here illegally if you're going to slap their hands and give them a little fine. That's not going to discourage illegal immigration, is it?
There's really great research showing that the actual cost per immigrant, so even undocumented immigrants, for the federal government tends to be quite low over their entire life. But what we can do is actually charge them, based on that research, what their likely costs are to the federal government. So that's the exciting thing.
What if they have no money? What if they have no money? They come over, you know, and they got no money. They have no job. How are you going to get the money out of them?
I do think that's a really important issue. Right now, we have to figure out how to start processing people and evaluating their claims to asylum or to refugee status, whatever it is. We need to find policies that do that efficiently to make sure people have a place to come and can come legally. And opening up the immigration policies to allow more people to come is going to be the best way to discourage illegal immigration.
Yeah. Well, I agree with the one thing that you're saying, Josh. We've got to speed up legal immigration. There's something going on here where those people, you know, waiting patiently for all of those years, there's something wrong there. That does not make any sense. But can't we stop illegal immigration while we encourage legal immigration at the same time?
I think so. And that's why we need smart enforcement policies. Remember, open arms are not open borders. We need a way to make sure that people who are coming to the U.S. are coming to be peaceful workers, not people who are threats to their communities. And overwhelmingly, immigrants are those peaceful workers. Immigrants are about half as likely to commit crimes, for example. So we shouldn't be too worried that immigrants who are coming are actually a threat to public communities or public safety.
Yeah, I've never bought into that argument myself, quite frankly. People coming from south of the border, generally, I don't worry about them coming here to commit crimes. I think they do come here, and when they get here, they want to legitimately find work. I think there's some truth to that. But it's the major law that you break, you know. It's like I rob the bank, but after I rob the bank, I'm doing good work. You know, I'm getting myself a job, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm a nice neighbor, and I have input in my community. Yeah, but you got here illegally. That doesn't take away the crime. And I don't see how, unless you give up, you know, unless, I mean, are we going to pick and choose which laws we enforce and which laws we don't? You know, it's just, it gets back to that issue, I think.
And I don't think anyone will have a problem telling ICE to go after bank robbers.
No. Yeah, I'm talking about going after people that just come over the border illegally. Forget about robbing a bank. I'm just using that as a... Do you understand?
Yeah, okay. Right. And we might even think about how we structure that pathway to citizenship, or and to make sure that
pathway to citizenship is to take them back across the border and tell them to get in line with the legal legal. It's unfair to give those people to cut in front of those people by coming here illegally. It's just not right.
I think there's a good point there, but we have to think about there are existing immigrants in the U.S. who don't have that path. So even in legal programs, people who will have a visa and are here legally are actually the largest source of undocumented immigrants eventually. They come in with documents, then those documents expire, and they don't leave because they are productive members of the community and they're great for local economies. They have a huge
Yeah, but that doesn't that shouldn't be a criteria. If you break the law, you break the law. If you rob a bank, no matter how good you are after you rob the bank, you robbed the bank. And you've got to be accountable for that. So they might be great citizens, but I mean, if we do that, then why have any borders at all, right? What's the point? What's the point? What's the point?
Should we send everyone who gets a speeding ticket to jail?
What does that have to do with crossing of the borders illegally?
Because I think that crossing at a border is more like getting a speeding ticket than it is robbing a bank.
No, it's not. You think that a speeding ticket is on an equal par with coming into a country illegally? Really?
If they come with the intention to
Are you kidding me? Excuse me for laughing. Go ahead.
Immigrants are a wonderful part of the U.S. economy. We've got to sort out a way to
You
make
say
sure
immigrants.
People can come legally.
Yeah, immigrants are. Illegal immigrants are not. Legal immigrants are a wonderful part of our country.
Even illegal immigrants are making contributions to critical industry. Think about this. Many of the vegetables, the fruits that you've eaten.
We can get them with legal immigrants. We don't need illegals to get that. Why do we need illegals for it?
I think you're right. We don't need illegal immigrants. We need to make sure that the legal pathway makes sense so that farmers don't have to hire undocumented workers or let crops rot in the fields.
Well, again, we have laws. They need to be enforced. If they're not enforced, it leads to more illegal immigration. It's an encouragement to increase the problem. We have to stop the problem. Being nice to people that break into your house is not going to stop people from breaking into your house.
And again, I think the better comparison is to something like a speeding ticket. There's no one that's harmed by being someone crosses the border.
Somebody breaks into my house, somebody can be harmed. Somebody comes
Certainly.
Across a border, somebody can be harmed. If you're crossing illegally, even in the act of crossing illegally, somebody could be harmed.
Certainly, and a lot of immigrants are taking massive risks to themselves.
Exactly.
To come across. A lot of what Border Patrol does and should be encouraged to do is actually, you know, carrying around bottles of water and making sure that the migrants who are crossing the border aren't dying of dehydration.
Of course.
That's an important role.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with stopping illegal immigration. I'd give them a bottle of water, too, but I'd then send them back to Mexico or wherever they came from. I mean, of course, you're not going to let somebody die in the desert. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't stop this kind of illegal entry. I mean, we got, 12, 16 million people that have come? At what point do we say enough is enough, you know?
And I think that point should be right now. I think everyone agrees that we need to make legal immigration easier to prevent illegal immigration. That's the best pathway for preventing illegal immigration, making sure people can come easily and work in the U.S.
Is there a way that Biden, you think, could focus on that? Is he going to focus on expediting legal immigration, in your opinion?
I think that that's something that they're working on with Congress right now. And there's a lot of debates about how you make the pathway, how you account for dreamers, you know, children who were brought here with no choice in their own. They are babies brought across the border or very young children, how do we deal with those questions is an important thing to consider. And I think the root of the issue is that immigration is too difficult to do legally. And the Biden administration should definitely be working towards promoting open arms rather than open borders. Smart enforcement is going to be a great component of that.
Well, Josh, it was a pleasure talking with you. I appreciate the lively discussion that we had, and I hope that Biden can come up with some sort of a plan. I especially, as I say, with all these people that are waiting patiently in line, I always think about them and what they are going through.
I agree.
Oh, thank you, Josh. Thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Thank you, too.
All right. Josh Smith, Center for Growth and Opportunity. Let us take our break. When we come back, that second impeachment trial starts in about 2.5 hours right now. We'll talk with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi, see what he has to say about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday. And by the way, Freedom Works, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And you can also, if you want to, listen to the show again or listen to it for the first time by going to our website and punching the podcast button. Then you can listen to it at your leisure when you got a few minutes. Thanks to Big Ed, we got every show on podcast, chronological order, OurFreedomWorks.com, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, we talked a little earlier about, conspiracies and the election and getting into our water supply, which is kind of scary. Now the World Health Organization, investigating the origins of the virus, have downplayed the possibility that it was leaked from a lab near Wuhan, China. Instead, they say it likely spread from an animal into humans. Now, this is the food safety and animal disease expert. His name is Peter Ben Embarek, I guess you pronounce it, Embarek. And here's the deal that I find. That lab is in Wuhan, and they're saying that somehow just coincidentally near the lab, the virus started? I don't know about that one. That one, Ed, what do you think? I mean, to me, if it started in Wuhan, and they got all of these experiments that they're doing inside the lab, they admit it, with things like viruses and stuff. And you're going to tell me that this didn't come from the lab?
I don't think we're ever going to know the truth, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You know, Sweep it under the rug.
Well, that's what I think it's happening here. Now, a team of scientists have been investigating the origins of this virus since December of 2019. And I'll tell you what, let's bring in our guy, the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci. Andrew, I know we got the impeachment going on, but what do you think about the World Health Organization kind of dismissing the fact that it might have come from the Wuhan lab?
Well, Paul, now that China's in charge of our country, what do you think they're going to try and say?
Yeah, I think
it's that simple.
I think
let's take the heat off of China. We got Biden in office now. He'll make sure that it didn't come from China.
Yeah.
Now, they're going to say it was from eating bats again. Remember that when it
yes.
first started?
Although, have you ever tried bat soup? It's not bad.
Only on Halloween.
I know. So,
oh, Paul, you know, people are disgusted with what's going on. Let's be truthful about it all. Again, we haven't heard anything good about what's... And you know what really irked me? What about Mr. Bill Barr, huh? Did you catch that?
What's the latest on Bill Barr?
Well, they're saying that Bill Barr actually helped out. As a matter of fact, it was on television, I guess, Sunday on one of the programs, that he actually helped Biden with his executive orders to sign.
Where'd you read that?
It was on the news Sunday. It wasn't read.
Okay,
they did an interview with him on one of the channels. I forgot which one it was.
All right. No, I don't know anything about it. I haven't seen anything.
Barr
is now helping
Bill
Biden.
Barr.
Biden is getting his help on executive orders from the former attorney general for Trump.
That's what we heard.
Wow.
He said it in an interview.
Speaking about all these crazy things, did you see that documentary or whatever you'd like to call it that Mike Lindell did?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I watched it yesterday, and I must say that he makes a compelling case. Whether or not it's true, I think that the people that he had on, including himself, were very sincere.
No question about it, Paul.
Yeah.
I give this man credit coming out. Look at what he's putting on the line to do this.
I tend to agree with
you. That's how dedicated he is.
Yeah.
And you know what, Paul? The truth is going to come out with all this.
I think it will eventually.
Look at the way he got booed for his little speech from the Super Bowl alone.
Yeah.
Okay? People don't like this guy. They know he's a setup.
Oh, you're talking about Biden.
They don't like what's going on.
Biden got booed. Yes, he got booed.
Did you see where OPEC said the price of oil is going up, Paul? You know, we were paying $43 a barrel. Gas was $1.97 a gallon, maybe $2.01 a gallon, right? OPEC now says the oil's going up $100 a barrel.
It's not looking good, that's for sure, when we're shutting down our pipeline construction. I don't know what is in their head.
I can tell you what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. When the gas gets up to $4 or $5 a gallon, I'm going to get some Biden stickers, and I'm going to put them on every Democrat's car that I don't like. And we'll see what happens.
People taking pot shots at him, right?
That's right.
Uh-huh. So let's get a little bit, I know we've beaten this thing to death, but around 1 o'clock or 1:30 this afternoon, those 100 idiots in the Senate are going to assemble to start this impeachment trial. We both agree it's going nowhere.
Everybody says it's going nowhere.
Do you, in the long run, is this going to be a help or a hindrance, A, to the Republicans, B, to Donald Trump?
Well, listen, you know I got no use for the Republicans right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a handful, okay? Look at Liz Cheney. Oh, they voted her back in. She's a parasite to the Republican Party. She's no good. The Republican Party has fallen apart. Today you'll see the 10 people that'll vote for his impeachment, or not today, but they end up voting for it and this mm-hmm. and that. Where's the Republican Party going? The Republican Party is nothing without Trump, okay? I don't care who they would have put in against any Democratic candidate. If Trump wasn't there, they wouldn't have gotten no votes at all.
Don't you think that, are you talking about against Hillary Clinton the first time? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about this election right now
uh-huh.
that just went on. You think that any other Democrat would have got, or any other Republican would have got 74 million votes? I don't think so.
I'm not sure that, yes, I tend to think you're right.
I mean, the Republican Party is dead in the water, Paul. They're useless.
So you don't think if somebody came along with conservative values that was charismatic and stood up and represented the Republican Party, that he couldn't pull the party together?
No.
A Ronald Reagan type?
No.
No?
You can't pull that party together, Paul. There's too many Republicrats in there.
Well, haven't
too many Republicans. Trump was the Republican Party. Without Trump, the Republican Party is nothing.
Well, what was it before he was there? They got Republicans like George Bush, both Bushes. They had Ronald Reagan.
Well, you know, Paul, I mean, that was before millennials started growing up and were able to vote. Let's go back a few years. They weren't able to vote at that time.
Okay.
Now that they've been brainwashed the way they have in schools and the colleges, they're outnumbering us.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, in other words, the old traditional Republican values are not in vogue right now with even with the current younger Republicans.
No.
Okay. Yeah,
it's just like when you were talking with the other gentleman about immigration. Where did this guy come from? With his immigration policy. I was laughing at him in my barber shop. I think they ought to move 10 of them into his house.
It's in Utah State. How many, by the way, how many illegals go to Utah where all the Mormons are? I'm not so sure that would work out.
How many illegals? I would know. Listen. You know, Paul, I have nothing against immigration. This country was built on immigrants.
Of course, of course.
But you got to come in the right way. Like I said, years ago when my family came here, they had to be sponsored by another family or a church. Okay? They had to be useful to our country. They didn't come in here not knowing nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, they had to have a purpose. They had, and then they got their, you know, their immigration status to a citizenship. Not walk across the border, and here we are, take care of us.
Yeah,
we're doing this for the votes, Paul. That's it.
More Republicans need to stand up and say, look, we're going to totally try to stop illegal immigration. We'll never succeed 100%, but even if we succeed 90%, that's a lot better than what's going on right now.
And, you know, let them raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. You'll see them letting more illegals in to come and pick the crops. Believe me.
Mm-hmm. That's true. They'll get people for real low wages. It is an incentive for a lot of businesses to hire illegal immigrants. There's no question about that.
Well, the country's in a tailspin. We're going to see how long it takes to hit.
So what are the odds that the Republicans in this impeachment trial this afternoon bring up one of your favorite senators that used to be, and her name escapes me now, the black congressman that said...
You mean Ann Esther?
Thank you. Ann Esther. What are the odds that they won't bring up Ann?
Of course they're going to bring her up. They're going to bring them all up. They're going to bring up Kamala Harris saying, these people got to protest. Don't you stop. You keep protesting. We're going to bail you out.
Yeah.
You're going to play all that, Paul.
I think they're going
to make fools. You know what?
They're going to make
the Democrats look like the fools that they are.
Going to make them look like...
Like I said, Pelosi, Feinstein, they all belong in the nursing home.
I hope they bring up what, as we talked about before, what Pelosi had to say about the people that broke into the Capitol building in Madison, Wisconsin. And, you know, they stormed through, they broke the windows, they broke down the doors. And she was encouraging them to do it. And
Paul,
it's crazy.
You know, just like before, on January the 5th at nighttime, they had a tour going through the Capitol building. Okay? Now, who's saying these people didn't plant these pipe bombs is set up?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't doubt that McConnell and Pelosi told them where to put them.
Holy Toledo. I think there's truth, though, to the fact that this was planned way before Trump's speech. They knew when Trump said he was going to do a Capitol, there's enough people that would want to do some damage that thing was planned. Wouldn't have made any difference what Trump said at that point.
No. Well, look, Trump said, let's peacefully and patriotically. Now, what don't people understand? That's plain English, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
Unless you're an illegal immigrant that doesn't understand English yet. Everybody else understood it.
That's correct. They certainly did.
He said nothing. He did nothing. They're just trying to get him so he can't run again, Paul, because they know that he will blow them away the next time.
You know, even if they somehow convicted him, and then after that, by the way, then if he's convicted, then they can vote on whether to disbar him, or I mean to disqualify him, and that would only be a simple majority vote. Even if they did all of that, I'm not sure it would hold up in a court. That you can permanently keep somebody from doing something? I'm not sure that you can do that.
Well, look at the money that they have wasted since this whole thing. It cost them, I think they said like $55 million or something to have
what do
the
they care?
National Guard there.
It's not their money. What do they care? And they
exactly.
just keep borrowing.
Well, you
it.
Know what? You know what they should do, Paul, with this impeachment? See, the Democrats bought it, brought it all upon, right? And they know that it's going to be nothing come out of it. They should make the Democrats pay for that expense.
Well, that would be great because we
That'd be,
cut,
that's what,
cut
that's
down
what
a,
should be done.
To pull it out
and
of
I
their
guarantee
salaries.
It wouldn't happen again.
Yeah.
Because they don't like their pockets pulled.
Well, it's wishful thinking, that's for sure. I don't
think everything is wishful thinking today, Paul. You can only wish that this country is going to be great again. But the fact of the matter is, these people get in there 4 years, it's destroyed.
So do you have any hope that we're going to be able to see somebody like a Trump recapture the White House, whether it's Donald Trump or not, in 4 years? Or do you think there is nobody else like a Trump, et cetera?
Well, there could be, but let's face the fact, Paul. Right now, the guy's got 80 million followers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I told you before, opportunity only knocks once, not twice. And I know how you think about a third party, but I'm talking a
yeah.
second party getting
mm-hmm.
rid of the third party. And according to what I'm reading, all the Trump people are more than happy and ready to leave the Republican Party, Paul.
Well, that's how new parties start, right? The Whig Party, the Federalist Party, they're gone now, and they used to be
big
time.
But, you know, Paul, the thing is, they never had the following that Trump has.
Mm-hmm.
Trump, let me tell you, it's like I told you, without Trump, the Republican Party is nothing. Okay, the Patriot Party with Trump, there will be no Republican Party.
Well, I think that a lot of people feel that way. There is no question about it, Andrew. I always appreciate you being with us, my friend. And, of course, I look forward to our chat on Friday. It will be post-impeachment, and they will have gotten this whole thing will be over, and he won't be convicted, and we'll be talking about other things, hopefully.
And then you're going to be talking about a whole lot of other things when this is out of the way, Paul.
Yeah.
But then I think you're going to see some people making moves.
That could be, too. Yeah. We'll see where that goes. Well, thank you, Andrew, as always, my friend.
Paul, you got it. You have a good day, buddy.
All right. Thank you. There he goes, the master barber himself. All right, we are going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, did you know that during the Super Bowl, there was an ad for the Scientologist? We're going to talk about that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment. Thank you so very much for joining us here on Freedom Works. Well, Ed, I was watching the Super Bowl, and then I heard when I came in this morning, did you actually honestly really watch the Super Bowl 3 times?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, but I watched it commercial free. And the condensed version.
No kidding. Well, yeah. Then you can almost remember every single play, can't you?
Well, I subscribe to this thing that they cut out the, you know, waiting for the calls. The plays come in. It's snap after snap after snap.
Do you ever hear that if they timed out the actual activity during a football game, it's like 12 minutes of actual?
Sure, yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
All right. Ed, since you watched the Super Bowl, do you remember seeing any ad on the Church of Scientology during the Super Bowl?
I did not, but then I missed a few. It's so hard because, you know, you don't want to miss the game, and eventually you have to, you know, nature calls and
exactly.
You have to go, you miss it.
Yeah. Well, the Church of Scientology aired a 30-second ad during the Super Bowl, apparently much to the shock of a lot of people. In the ad, the narrator says, "In the wake of the unimaginable, in the shadow of uncertainty, in the face of fear," scenes from the past year play out, including coronavirus pandemic scenes, stock market crash. The narrator goes on to say, "It's time to rediscover your hope, your purpose, your passion, your potential, you. Because no matter what we may face, nothing is stronger than the human spirit." And then there's, I guess, you know, underneath it says Church of Scientology, right? Mm. So that's what they said. The ad did spark some discussion on social media. Now, here we are in Clearwater, and we've got the Church of Scientology headquartered here. But I didn't see that ad, but I'm wondering if that has in any way in the Super Bowl, if it would influence people to consider joining it.
Well, I mean, they're not snatching people off the streets.
Correct.
You know, in Clearwater. They do their own thing. They have the right to buy time if it's available.
I think so, too. And by the way, this isn't the first time. They ran a spot in the Super Bowl in 2013, too. It must be expensive.
It's $5 million per 30 seconds.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you go to a health club and you don't like the club, you don't join it. You know,
that's right.
It's Scientology.
I agree. Yeah. I know people that are Scientologists.
Yeah.
And we've had programs on our station that have to do with it in some way, shape, or form.
The only thing people have a problem with is that they don't think they pay their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the tax situation, because they're a church.
Because it's treated like a church.
Right,
and there could be an argument for that they take advantage. Yeah.
There's some problems with downtown Clearwater with some of the storefronts that are bought by them and kept empty, you know, and not allowing downtown district there to thrive.
Yeah, why wouldn't the Scientologists want to see our downtown area thrive?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You have to...
That's a little bit worrisome.
We've had the mayor in here a couple of times. And
what does he say?
Different board members don't have an answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're right on the water with Clearwater. It could be such a beautiful place. It could be much like St. Petersburg.
They have a lot of... It's almost like Monopoly. That they've bought a lot of pieces downtown.
Yes,
you know?
They have.
You know?
Including the old Fort Harrison Hotel. And the
Fort Harrison restaurant, it was whatever after that. That's going to come down, and you know, they're going to expand the mothership there. And you know.
The mothership, yeah. Oh, well, that's Clearwater for you. Very interesting. All right, my friend. It's time for our top 10. And it's been a while since we did a top 10 that had nothing to do with the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We did a lot of those. But we have the top 10 senators who escaped expulsion from the Senate. Now, the truth is that they're the 10 latest senators that escaped expulsion from the Senate, because how do you rate which is more important than another, I think, right? This comes from Wikipedia, but I think it's kind of interesting. These guys all got out before they were expelled. Here we go. Number 10. Guy by the name of Reed Smoot. What a name. Reed Smoot. In 1907, he was not expelled. They asserted that he, as a Mormon, speaking about Mormons, belonged to a religion incompatible with U.S. law. Wow. All right. Number 9. Robert M. La Follette. He was a Republican from Wisconsin. In 1919, he was charged with disloyalty for a speech opposing entry into World War I. Wow, they're going to throw you out just for having a view on whether to go in or out of a war?
Mm.
Interesting. Number 8, another interesting name, Truman Handy Newberry, 1922. He was a Republican from Michigan. He resigned rather than being expelled. He was convicted of election fraud, which was later overturned, for excessive spending in the election. Number seven, 1924, Burton K. Wheeler. He was a Democrat from Montana. He was not expelled. He was indicted for conflict of interest after serving in legal cases to which the U.S. was a party. I don't understand how that works, but that's what it says here. He was exonerated by the Senate. All right. Number six. 1934, John Overton, Democrat, Louisiana. He was not expelled. He was investigated for electoral fraud. Number five. Well, this is a well-known guy. Huey Long, also 1934, also from Louisiana. He was actually involved with Overton, and both of them were investigated but not expelled for election fraud. Number four, William Langer, 1942. He was a Republican from North Dakota. He was not expelled, charged with corruption and moral turpitude.
Moral turpitude.
Yes, good old moral turpitude. While governor of North Dakota. How can you be immoral in North Dakota? Can't figure that one out. Number three, Harrison Williams, 1982. He was a Democrat from New Jersey. He resigned. He was convicted of bribery and conspiracy in the Abscam scandal. That was an Arab deal going on with the FBI surveilling them. All right, number two, Bob Packwood. Do you remember Bob Packwood, Ed, by any chance?
No.
I remember he was a Republican from Oregon. And he was fondling women.
Oh, boy.
He cornered a woman in an elevator and started making the play on her.
Mm.
He was charged with sexual misconduct and abuse of power.
Not a very nice man.
No. And he resigned before. And he probably would have been expelled.
Mm.
But he resigned before that. Okay. Here we go. Here is the number one senator who escaped expulsion.
I have no idea whatsoever.
No, I wouldn't have either. But it came in 2011, fairly recently. John Ensign. Remember that name? Republican from Nevada. He resigned. He was charged with financial improprieties stemming from an extramarital affair. You know, that's what goes on. They start with a woman, a lover, or whatever, and somehow it gets financial. And away you go, right? So there you go. Top 10 senators who escaped expulsion. All righty. Thank you so very much for being with us on Freedom Works. We are here Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, which means we will be back on Friday. Until then, please remember, Freedom Works.